Okay, we're going to start right now. So, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the blood of Jesus, for the Word of God. We thank and praise you for the Sabbath. We thank you, Lord and God, that we could be here on the eighth day, Lord and God, of this great day of the feast, Lord and God, that you talk about so much in the Bible. Lord, and you make it more and more evident to us. You make it clearer to us every year. We just thank and praise you, Lord and God, that we could be with these brothers and sisters around the world on your holy day. Your holy day. I just thank and praise you. Bless everyone that's with us today and those that are not with us. Lord, I pray that you'll keep us washed in thy holy blood as we come to study your holy word. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles is over one more time, God. Lord and God, and now this is your great Shabbaton. It's even a special Sabbath today. Lord and God, we just praise you. We could be here in your house before your presence and your Holy Spirit. I just praise and thank you. Lord, in the blood of the Messiah, I pray today you'll send down healing on those that need healing. I pray, Lord, you'll make straight the way of the Lord in our hearts once and for all before it's everlastingly too late. Lord and God, I pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us today in a special way on your day. Show us more and more what the great last day really means and the eighth day, Lord, that you made the eighth day a Sabbath. Lord, which is very unusual, we pray today that you'll make it manifest to us more and more. This is your feast and your day. Amen. God bless everybody. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are, as it says right here, we are one in Messiah congregation. Okay? And today is a Shabbat, and it's a Sabbath. Today's the October 16th, okay? And, today's October 16th. 2006, and it's also the seventh month of God, which I'm sure everybody knows by now. And I'm sure everybody knows it says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, that it's called Ha-Ethanim. Ha-Ethanim. And today is actually the 22nd day of the seventh month, which is very important. So, praise the Lord. I wanted to give a small reading today, because we've been reading all week, like the Bible says. And this has been very important to us. For the people that are new with us, by the way, on Pal Talk, we are called Kahal Echad Ben Mashiach. We are one of Messiah congregation. And we are Jews and Gentiles. We all join the Messiah. We're all attached to that vine, and that vine is Messiah. And, you know, whether you're a natural branch or you're a grafted in another wild olive tree or whatever, we are all grafted into the same vine. And we're in the same body, the same spirit, and the same everything it's supposed to be. So praise the Lord. If you want to know what I'm going to be reading, click on the banner above and you could follow along with us. This eighth day today, right now, which started last night at sundown, it should be holy. And so far, it's been a battle to be holy, but it should be holy. We're going to find out what that really means. And it should be a Shabbaton. That means it's even a special Sabbath. Special. And it's a convocation, which is even something else, and it's supposed to be solemn, really. That's beautiful. These are all words we're going to look into, and it's also supposed to be an assembly, which is very important. I think I spelled assembly with two A's, but I'll fix that. You see right here, Shabbaton is a special holiday. It's a rest, and it is a Sabbath. And this is a special day to God, and I see the this whole feast of the Lord, I see that it's something that we're supposed to acknowledge, and we're supposed to, something we're supposed to adhere, and something we're supposed to listen to. Otherwise, we'd be stoned to death, you know, according to the scriptures. And of course, today is the Sabbath of the Lord. And if people would only believe the Bible, instead of trying to make God into the Easter Bunny or the Santa Claus that this world has pumped into our subconscious, this is a day that we're supposed to honor. It's a day, a special holy day, and it's a Sabbath. It's a rest. And I know that just that little simple thing, rest, Sabbath, special day, Shabbaton, it just somehow, in this world that we live in, it's the hardest thing in the world. But I guess fear of the Lord will play an important part. We see this word in the Bible, this eighth this eighth day in the Hebrew is called Hashemini Atzeret. And the word Atzeret is very simply right there in assembly. It's especially on a festival, a holy day. It's a solemn assembly. It's a meeting. And it comes from the word right there, Atzar. Atzar is the same thing, assembly, solemn assembly. It's a sacred and festival meeting, an assemblage, a company, a group. So when you see all these things right here, you see all these words right here, do you think you're supposed to be doing anything else? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I can't, just the thought of it. I wanted to bring these words across. Maybe it'll sink into our minds a little more. I also do know that everyone here in our congregation, this is probably all new to you. And I don't mean to, you're just supposed to, you know, 1, 2, 3, just digest the whole thing, because I'm still trying to digest it, and it's been a year for me. All right. The next word I'd like to look at is this word also means to restrain, retain, close up, shut, withhold. What was the word up there? Is this the same word, right? It's a tzar. In Hebrew it says a tzar. And this is what it's supposed to mean. Look at these words that one little word means. It means, look at all these things. Now when you see the call, the nifel, and all these different, these are verbal conjugations in the Hebrew language. I know you don't know what that means, but that's something else. We'll, one day, if we ever study Hebrew, these are verb conjugations. But you could read all these words here. This is what this Hashemini Atzeret is supposed to be. I even see, it's obviously, I put in red the assembly, but you see all the rest of these words? You're supposed to refrain, restrain, recover. I mean, you could just read all these words here. Every word, if you apply it to what we're doing, you could, and if you apply it in the right way, it can be utilized correctly, if you know what I mean. I mean, I even see the word fast there, which is interesting. And you know what's really interesting about this word? It also means keep. And keep has a very unique meaning in the Hebrew language. Okay? So you have to prevail, recover, you have to do a lot of things here, okay? I just wanted to show some meanings of the words that you might read in English all the time. Now, here's another word that you don't see all the time. It's called moad, or moadim, which is the plural, okay? And this is what it's supposed to be. It's a fixed time, a season, a festival. And, of course, they say conventionally a year, by implication, an assembly. And you could see everything else it says. You know, the main thing is it's an appointed time. It's a meeting. It's an assembly. It's a solemn feast. It's a time to meet in the synagogue, or it's something that you're supposed to be doing, and nothing else is supposed to take preeminence over this. Nothing else is supposed to supersede this. So you're supposed to. This is the first thing you're supposed to be doing, especially today. Okay, go right ahead, please. And you could. I looked it up in a couple of concordances just to show you that it's the same thing everywhere. It's an appointed place, appointed time. It's a meeting. In other words, if you have an appointed time to meet the Lord somewhere, how would it be if you went somewhere else and God's waiting for you? Would that be nice? God says, "Meet me on my appointed time," but you're somewhere else. It's a tent of meeting. It's a feast. It's a sign. It's a signal. I mean, that's important. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right. Yep. Let me check something real quick. Okay. Anyone that interferes in the room, please either red dot them or make it stick around. Or if they PM you, if anyone PMs you and bothers you, please let us know. We will bounce them out of the room, okay? And anti-missionaries, you need to repent and accept the Messiah, okay? You're allowed to stay here with us and now learn something, maybe. The word mikra in Hebrew, mikra, that is something called out. That is a public meeting. And that's either the act or the person or the palace or the place. That's spelt wrong. Also a rehearsal. Okay? It's supposed to be an assembly, a calling, a convocation, a reading. So you see all these things that we're doing, we're trying to do every little bit of this. We're trying to have we're trying to be called out. We're trying to do a convocation. We're trying to have a sacred assembly. Oh boy. We're trying to have a reading. We are trying our best, a rehearsal. We do it every year. I mean, we're trying to do this. And it is a public meeting. It doesn't mean you're supposed to sit home. It's a public meeting, okay? Supposed to be getting together with people and celebrating these mikra kodesh, and it's something holy before God. The word kodesh is holy, of course, and it's apartness, holiness, sacredness, separateness, set apartness, separateness. I mean, and this is all of God. You're supposed to be separate unto God. How separate unto God are you if you're not doing what He said? How separate unto God right now if you're breaking the Sabbath? If you're breaking the Sabbatone right now, are you separate to God? Or are you just following your own will and your own flesh because you're just maybe sweeter than God or something? Some people that's been in the Lord a long time, they think they have a special place too. No. The first will be last and the last will be first. Everyone has to serve the Lord the same amount all the time. It isn't because you've been in the Lord longer, you have anything over anybody, or if you've been in the Lord less. We're all equal and we all are accountable, and it's a scary thing to me. See, I fear because I know how it feels when you have no breath. That is the most scariest thing. I never forgot that one time. I had this situation that happened. It was a vision or something. I had no breath. That is the most horrible, frighteningest thing. When you feel like you're finished and you're going to die right there, you're not thinking about nobody else. I want to let you know that. You're not thinking about nothing else except, are you right with God? Because that's all that matters when the breath is leaving you. So I know what it means when the breath is going away from you. It's a frightening thing. So I want to be separate. I want to be, I want to be set apart. Don't you want to be holy? Most people today don't want to be holy. Go right ahead. This word kadosh also means a sacred place. It's a thing. And some of these other words here, I don't even want to say because they don't really meet the conditions of being holy. It's a hollow thing. It's holiness. Okay? It's a holy day. And if you're a kodeshim, a saint, it's very important. So, and there's another word, kadosh. Right here, this is a kadosh. It has the same meaning, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be hallowed. So you got to ask yourself, are you consecrated to the Lord? Are you hallowed? I don't know. If you have unclean things around you, you're not hallowed or consecrated. Then you might wonder, I wonder why things are going, maybe aren't going too good with me. I don't know. Do you show yourself sacred? I don't know. Do you make a difference? I don't know. Go right ahead. Anyway, you can read through all these. There's the PL, the PUEL, the HIT-PL, there's the HIFEL. These are all conjugations in the Hebrew language. And I'm not going to read all these to you. You can read them later. They're on the website. But they all have the same meaning, basically. One is in the future tense, one's in the present tense, one's in the past tense. It's just different conjugations and verbs. So, that's what that's all about, okay? But it's all the same thing about being consecrated, dedicated. And these are questions you ask yourself. Are you dedicated? Are you consecrated? Are you sacred? Are you holy? I don't know. Do you want to look like everybody else? Do you want to act like everybody else? Do you want to... I don't know. Do you want the feelings? I mean, you got to be careful of your feelings. Your feelings can deceive you. We don't live by feelings. We live by, I hope, by the Spirit of God. That's important. Your feelings might trick you into breaking the commandments. Go right ahead. That's the HIT-PL, which you never heard of. That means it's like reflect. That's a reflective type of verb where it says he caused himself to be holy. It's called reflective. That's just the conjugation. I don't want to get into Hebrew grammar at the moment. But anyway, this is what we're doing. This is what we did all week, and I hope everyone had a feeling of the, a feast feeling. I hope. I know it's hard to do sometimes when you're all alone, and when you're new at it too. I know it's hard to get that feeling, because your whole neighborhood isn't doing it. All the people aren't doing it. The stores where you live make no note of it. Nobody talks about it, so it's hard to have a feeling. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days. On the first day, there should be a holy convocation, which I just explained those words, holy, and mikra kodesh. This is a mikra kodesh. You shall do no civil work therein. obviously today you're not definitely not, I mean, on the Sabbath you're not supposed to buy or sell, and a lot more today, especially this is the seventh month of God. I mean, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. Hashemini atzeret, and you shall do no civil work therein. Period. You might say, well, can't I just go, I got a few plants I want to plant today. Or I just want to, there's a few things I just want to do. No, you got plenty of time to go do that. But I mean, this has to sink into us. We're so trained doing the wrong thing. We have to untrain ourselves. We have to unlearn, which I know it is complicated. So I feel maybe the Lord has a little bit of mercy on us because we've been brainwashed by our ancestors and brainwashed by this everybody we know. But once you know, you better get it straight, because once you do know, that's it. God's not like playing around like you think he is. Once you get it straight, that's it. You can't say, well, God, I didn't know. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall... You know, I almost feel sometimes I have to force people to do the feasts of the Lord. It's supposed to be a feast of the Lord. You shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, burnt offering and meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, and everything upon his day. And this is beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, beside your gifts, beside all your vows, beside all your freewill offerings, which you will give unto the Lord. Sometimes I wish I lived back there. I'd love to do all that. I'd like to be in the temple there, and I'd like to do a meat offering and a drink offering. And, you know, nowadays we don't have anything like that. We have no temples. We have no nothing, no Levites. I would love to do that. I would like to give it a crack. I don't want to be a priest. I mean, because that, you know, one slip and you're finished. But I mean, I'd like to just be one of the guys there. And in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, these are agricultural, as you guys know by now, I hope, these are agricultural feasts. You should keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Now, this is really pumping into everyone's mind this year. It's supposed to be a feast to the Lord 7 days. A feast to the Lord 7 days, not one day. It's a feast to the Lord 7 days. And then on the first day and the last day are Sabbaths. The first day and the eighth day are Sabbaths, okay? So that's what we're supposed to get this in our minds, and I know it's still trying to get in my mind. It's a feast of the Lord 7 days. So you might say to yourself, wow, should I be doing anything else during that 7 days? Doesn't sound like it. But what about my job? What about my, well, I don't know. Everyone gets sick days, work days. I don't know. Everyone gets something to take off. I would save these up during the year and trying to get and do this right here. That's what I would try my best. It's a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And you shall take unto you the first day boughs of goodly trees, which we did on the first day we did this, branches of palm trees and boughs of fig trees and willows of the brook. You shall rejoice before the Lord 7 days. You're supposed to rejoice. God's commanding you to rejoice before him 7 days. He has to force you to, it's almost like he has to come down and tickle you. You know, just rejoice. Would you rejoice? And you shall take on the first day boughs of goodly things. I mean, you're supposed to rejoice before the Lord. It's supposed to be a happy thing. It's not supposed to be, oh man, the feast of the tabernacles. You know, no, it's supposed to be rejoicing. Because this is symbolic of the second coming of the Messiah, symbolic of his first coming, symbolic of his second coming, symbolic of tabernacling throughout eternity. And it's supposed to be rejoicing. And it's going to be in the future. We hope longer than 7 days. It's going to be forever. Praise the Lord. And we're supposed to keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. And not only that, it's a statute for forever in your generations. This is a commandment. You're supposed to, what? Celebrate. I mean, did you ever have to, anyone have to command you to celebrate before you met the Lord? Well, God has to get people to, you shall celebrate in the seventh month. Yes. You shall dwell in booths, how many days? 7 days. Now, of course, if you have to go take a shower and you have to go eat, of course, you got to do a few, you can't just stay there and just end up like a big smelly, you know, you got to go do some other couple of things too. So God's not unreasonable. And he even says that. He knows you got to, you know, you obviously that's just normal. And this is all Israelites born shall dwell in booths. So if you join the Israel of God, you are an Israelite born, and I believe that you're born again, and you better be born again of the Israelite family. Otherwise, you're not going to be making it in anyway, because God's coming back for those, you know, the 12 tribes, everyone's going to be in a tribe, it says. So this is very interesting information, that your generations, everything that's done is for a testimony. Everything you do is for a testimony. And it's either a good testimony or a bad testimony. This is that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, and that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Your animals aren't the Lord. I am the Lord, your God. Your husband isn't the Lord, or your wife, or your children. I am the Lord, your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. I mean, this almost sounds like, you know, in Nehemiah and Ezra, they were really happy. They were really rejoicing. And he had to stop the people from crying. They were like weeping. They're reading the Bible. Oh, no. How did I break everything? I never knew this. Oh, no. Because see, even if you don't read the Bible and you don't know, you're still guilty. Isn't that a bummer? Even if you don't want to read the Bible, you're still guilty. You can't say, well, I didn't have the Bible. Well, believe me, the Bible's, it's easy and easy to obtain, isn't it? You know. Anyway, here's a couple other words I wanted to look at. This word keep, fast, statute, and celebrate.
Feast.
Yeah, the feast. Keep feast. Excuse me. Keep feast, statute, and celebrate. Here's what they mean. Like you might look at that word like feast and keep. Here's Hagag. That word in Hebrew is Hagag. And Hagag means to move in a circle. That is to march in a sacred procession. To observe a festival, to celebrate. So that word Hagag means to celebrate and to keep, to hold a solemn feast, holy, and it's dancing too. It's supposed to be celebrating. It's supposed to be like, I don't know. I'm sure everybody in here used to celebrate when they didn't know the Lord, and I'm sure you were a little giddy there and went wild, didn't you? I'm sure, or maybe a lot. How much more for the Lord? How much more? Supposed to hold a feast, a festival. And it's a pilgrimage. Make a pilgrimage feast. Celebrate, dance. Okay? And hukkah is another word right there. And that means, it means substantially the same, appointed custom manner, ordinance, site, statute. These words, hukkah and hag is a festival. Hagag is another word. These are all used in this Hebrew that to me, when I read the Hebrew, you know, I read the English, right? Then I try to read the Hebrew because the Hebrew really, you know, it really has lots of meanings, you know. This brings out depths of the word. To me, it does. I mean, when I see it's an ordinance, a manner, a custom, a point of time, it's a statute. I mean, it's everything. It's a sacrifice. It's a feast. It's a solemn, the solemnity. It's everything. You follow what I mean? Hebrew brings up a little bit more depths in God. Praise the Lord for everyone in the room here. And on the 15th day, which we already did, of the seventh month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall no civil work. Do no civil work. Shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Isn't that sad? Most of the world and your friends don't even know this, right? Isn't that sad? Go right ahead. Now, the reason why I put this down, somebody was asking me, and then I wanted to also make sure I'm getting it too. The reason why I put this down, it shows you 7 days, everything, 7 days, these people did something on every day. It isn't like you're supposed to be anywhere else. This is a feast for 7 days. There's the second day, there's the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. In other words, these people weren't just floating around in the forest or they went into the hills on one day. No, they all had something specific to do. This is the book of Numbers, chapter 29. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a feast, 7 days. So that's, I'm trying to get that in my mind, too, because sometimes, you know, this world sucks you away from this whole thing because, you know, you look around, there's nobody doing it, and you almost could, you know, sometimes you could say, wait a second, oh, man, what am I doing? There's nobody else is doing it. You feel all alone, right? But we have to get this in our mind more and more each year we do this because one day we're going to be with the Lord. And that's what it's all about, really. So on the eighth day, which is today, today is the eighth day, and the Feast of Tabernacles is over, and I hope everyone had a wonderful feast. And today is the Hashemini Atzeret. It's the eighth day, and it's a Shabbaton, and it's a sacred holy day. And I know that to some people don't know what holy and sacred is, but it's hard to know what holy is today in this world, because you know you look out in the world, you don't see too much holy, you don't see too many holy things going on or holy people. You know any holy people at your job? Probably not. You might know some nice people, but nice isn't holy. You know, everywhere we looked in the Bible, my wife and I, we were seeing this, we were noticing that in the book of John, chapter 7, where Jesus, Yeshua, he calls this the great last day, and of course, John chapter 7 is all about, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, what was going on there, but this great day has to do with the end of the time, the end of the world. There's Zephaniah, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near, haste it greatly. Just think, it's hasting greatly. You might think, man, this is taking forever. When you meet the Lord, you're going to think life. You're going to think your whole life went like, I can't even snap my fingers fast enough. I mean, this is hasting greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry bitterly. The ones that didn't do any of God's commandments or His feasts. There's John 7:37, the last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Yes, he cried. That means with feeling, emotion. He didn't just go, "Oh, come unto me and drink." You know, no, he was like, I mean, people read the scriptures sometimes without emotions and feeling. I mean, if you cried, you're really trying to, like, you know, bring across something with a message that's has eternal value. Jude 1, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, had reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day." There's people right now in the bowels of this place called hell, Sheol, and they're in chains of darkness until the great day. They're already judged, but there's going to be a final judgment. And then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. I mean, I only could say those words. I don't really know what that means, obviously, because I don't know what forever means. I can't imagine getting, I can't even imagine somebody sticking me with a pin forever. I mean, could you imagine somebody just like stepping on your toe forever? I mean, that's nothing. How's it like somebody bouncing your head on the concrete forever? I mean, I can't even think of like what can be, that's going to be so bad. But this last day, this great last day, we believe at our congregation at this moment in time, not to say it's not going to change, but we do believe that we do these feasts because the seventh month, we have to start getting trained that the Sabbath is a sign. And the seventh month is when you better hear the sound of the trumpet and you better be atoned if you want a tabernacle with the Lord, especially on the great day when we all meet Him. And if you're thirsty, He'll give you the water of life freely, like it says in Revelations. If you're not there, you don't get anything. So Revelation 6:17, the great day of His wrath has come. Oh, people are waiting for the great day of His love. He's coming back with a rod of iron. Some people think that I talk severe or strong. I never came anywhere with a rod of iron, dealing vengeance to them that know not God. I can't even imagine what that means. The great day of His wrath. When we say His wrath, I mean, that right there makes me stop and Selah for a few minutes, meditate, because I mean, you know when somebody's mad at you? I'm sure everyone here had somebody mad at you, right? That's nothing compared to when God's mad at you. God is mad at you. And who shall be able to stand? Probably no one. Revelation 16:14, and they are, it says, and they are the spirits of devils working miracles, and go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. It's a battle. People might say, "Well, I don't want a battle. I just want to pet lambs and, you know, just feed ducks or something, you know." And just, you can't. It's a battle. If you don't realize you're in a battle, then you must be really out of the spirit. That's all I could think of. If you don't know you're in a battle, if you can't feel a piece of you pulling you this way and a piece going this way and someone saying, well, get out of there, just leave those people or just forget, get God, it's a battle. I know Satan's little voices. It's a battle. Quitters what? Never win, right? Yeah. That's why, and winners never quit. That's right. You know, anyway, this study today, I didn't want to get too much because there's so many different things going on in this, you know, this world. I looked up the word solemn. It's a solemn assembly. And you could read some of these. Numbers 10:10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offerings. I wish we don't have the trumpet today, do we? I'll have to blow it later. It says, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that you may be to you for a memorial before your God, and I am the Lord your God. So this is in the, it's pretty interesting. It's the beginning of your months. Every new moon, we should blow the trumpet. Every Rosh Chodesh, we want to blow the trumpet. Praise the Lord. And it is a solemn, these are solemn days, they're holy days, they're separate days, they're set apart days, they're sacred days, they're consecrated days, they're devoted days. I mean, all those words I was showing you before, if you could add, you could put that up to that, that's what that means. Numbers 15:3, I will make an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a sacrifice in performing a vow, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts. The reason why I put some of these verses down, I want to make sure you constantly see there are solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of your herd and of your flock. You know, and this is always important. God loves animals. God has herds. God has flocks. He says he owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He also owns the hills, and he owns the rest of the earth too, actually. But I mean, God loves everything that he made. He said everything he made was good. And when God says good, that word tov, it means really good. It was really good until, of course, man decides to do something else, and woman. Numbers 29:35, on the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. That's why we're here today. Praise the Lord. And you're supposed to do no civil work therein. You know anybody that bought and sold today? You do, don't you? That's terrible. You know, anyone who buys and sells today, I can't even begin to explain to you how, I mean, I don't know that, that's witchcraft. Stubbornness is as a sin of witchcraft. So we don't want to be around witches today. Someone that's stubborn or nosim, panim, batorah, that lift up their face against the Torah and they're partial in the law. You know, my flesh likes to be sweeter than the way I sound, believe me. But I feel like if I don't really try to express a little bit of the way the Lord feels, I will be belying the Lord. You know what belying the Lord means? I don't want to misrepresent the Lord. I don't want you to think that he's just a cream puff Easter bunny. He's not playing. I mean, I can't even imagine drowning the world or destroying nations. He destroyed babies, women, grandchildren, grandmothers. God's a holy God. He's not playing. But most people turned him into just a do-your-own-thing God. Oh, we'll just get around to that later, God. You don't know so-and-so like I know her or him. Well, God, you don't know my relatives like I know them. Well, he happens to know everybody. Anyway, this is a very scary thing to me. I'm scared when I even say these words because to know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin, and no sin will enter the kingdom of heaven. To sin willingly, presumptuously, if you sin willingly after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. I'm not saying anyone's doomed. That's between God and the people that break the Sabbath. If they happen to expire today, they are in danger. And that's for people that lift up their face against the Torah. Because if you sin willingly after you receive the knowledge of the truth, according to Apostle Paul, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Oh, I know the churches say, don't worry about it. Just say, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You turn into a Catholic. They go to church every, what, Friday? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God says when your fear comes upon you, he's going to mock you. I'm sorry too. You know, God, I can't imagine God mocking me when I'm dying. Because when I called, you refused. When I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel and did none of my reproof. Oh, brother. But this is supposed to be a joyful time. Anyway, Deuteronomy 16:8. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. This is a different feast. And of course, this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and this is also a solemn assembly. I just wanted to show you these verses, this solemn feast here in verse 15. Okay? I just want to show you that God is, you know, he has solemnity of the year of release, the Yovel, which one day we're going to have to figure that out. I hope we do. God gives us understanding on that. Howbeit yet, and here's something else that's going on right here. And Samuel, 2 Kings 10:20, which is a horrible thing. Some people want to proclaim a solemn assembly for false gods. Yeah, did you know that pretty soon, especially this month, people will be proclaiming solemn assemblies for pagan festivals? Isn't that sick? Sad. That's what 2 Kings 10:20 says. And they will proclaim it too. You'll see it's already in all the stores. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's in the schools. I don't know. People try to change it to, what do they try to call it? Earth Day or something?
Day.
What?
Harvest Day?
Harvest Day. Oh, Fall Day or Harvest Day. Yeah, they try to disguise pagan holidays as something that's nice. Matter of fact, today is the eighth day. Check this out. Today is the eighth day of the Feast of God, the great day of the feast. They call this today Boss's Day, and it's Pastor's Month.
Our boss.
Yeah, well, we got our boss, right. Bruce Springsteen's not the boss. Okay. Anyway, 2 Chronicles 2:4. And you see right here, and Solomon dedicates the house to the name of the Lord, my God, to dedicate it to him and to burn before him the sweet incense for the continual showbread and for the burnt offerings, the morning and evening. I mean, just think, every morning and evening we're supposed to praise and thank the Lord, and the new moons and the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance for
ever.
To who? To the unsaved? To the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites? No, to Israel. So did you join the Israel of God? Did you receive the new covenant? The new covenant was given to Israel. 2 Chronicles 7:9 and 8 day. Here's actually the Feast of Tabernacles. A lot of people never read this. In 2 Chronicles, here it is, the Feast of Tabernacles. They made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Praise the Lord. I bet you Solomon used the temple as a big sukkah. It was a gigantic temple, beautiful. I wish I could have seen that. I wish I could have motion pictures of the past, you know. Don't you wish you could have, like, DVDs of the past? God can give us understanding, I guess. But anyway, the solemn feasts are everywhere. You know, 2 Chronicles 8:13. I'm not going to read them all to you. There's three times in the year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All the males had to go to Jerusalem. So these are very important. These are solemn feasts. There's only three feasts, by the way. There isn't seven feasts. People got to get that straight. I know there's a lot of books out there, a lot of messianics, and a lot of people wrote the seven feasts of the Lord. But there's really three feasts. And there they are right there. The Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's three. Yeah, there's appointed days, they're holy, they're mikra kodeshes, they're assemblies, you know. I mean, there are other, it's not called the feasts like this, like these are. These are solemn feasts. And Nehemiah 8:18, also day by day, this is what I wanted to do. And maybe next year when we, you know, you digest this a little more, we get to see each other a little more, because day by day, from the first day until the last day, you're supposed to read in the book of the law of God. And it says, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly. Hashem and Iyad said it according unto the manner. So, you know, a little bit at a time, I hope we get that. Day by day, they read in the book of the Torah. I think we did it this year. I think we accomplished that this year. Some of us. Anyway, the Psalms 81:3, you know, that's the memorial, the Zichron Yom Teruah. You blow the trumpet in the new moon. And then, of course, the appointed, in the time appointed, and the solemn feast day. And, of course, in the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles that we just did. That is the solemn feast day of the seventh month. And Psalm 92:3, there's a solemn sound. Isaiah 1:13, there's a solemn meeting. So there's things of God that are, what I'm getting at is the word solemn, you know, it's supposed to be, there are things that are supposed to be set apart, things that are supposed to be sacred to you, things that are supposed to be holy, things that are supposed to be consecrated, things that are supposed to be godly. I mean, there are things of God. And, you know, it's not like, you know, some people get bummed out, oh man, I can't do Christmas anymore. I miss that guy with the red suit. Don't you miss the reindeers? They're so cute. No. Anyway, listen, if we could all do the feast together, it would be really joyful, because there'll be singing and dancing and praising the Lord, and there would be, I mean, it's a whole different thing when you got a whole bunch of people doing it. I mean, if you're doing it all by yourself in your house, it gets to be a little bit like, you know, oh, you start getting a little weary. You could send portions one to another. I think we could. I think it might be in Nehemiah. We could read that later. We'll verify that later. Yes. Isaiah 30:29. It says, "You shall have a song in the night when a holy solemnity is kept." Do you have a song in the night? And when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. See, God loves people God loves people rejoicing and being happy. I mean, He already died for us and gave Himself for us. What else do you want? We should all be so happy. Isaiah 33:20. Look unto Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eye shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle. Shalt thou not be taken down? Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Boy, isn't that, you know, I wish that, you know, that would have happened. You see, Israel forsook the Lord. And if you see what happens to Israel, you know, if God's going to do that to His own chosen people, what do you think He's going to do to you? You know, the goodness and the severity of God. Them that fell, severity. And according to the way it looks, on, you know, on the most the people now, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you get cut off. If you get cut off, that means you get killed. If you're cut off from oxygen, what happens? You live? No, you're dead. So imagine being cut off from the people of God. I mean, you know, I can't imagine anybody that's around us for any length of time really going to do something to really go buy and sell on the Sabbath. I can't even imagine that. I really can't imagine that, to be honest with you. It's almost like make-believe. Maybe I'm still in bed. You know, I can't imagine anyone really that's around us at all. I mean, if I do something that's breaking the Sabbath, I want you to tell me. And if I see you doing something that I think is breaking the Sabbath, I'm going to tell you. I mean, I'd rather be a nitpicker with each other than break the Sabbath, you know. Right, you'd be safe than sorry. I mean, I hope, you know, God forgives us if we did anything wrong, because we don't want to do nothing wrong. But I mean, I wish we had sometimes I wish there was like a Moses around here. Don't you wish there was someone that could say, this is what you do, this is how you do it? Instead of, you know, sometimes, I mean, I wish. I mean, God will give us more understanding and help us. Lamentations. Lamentations means like, you know, you're lamenting, you're crying, you know. And here it is right here. There are It says, the ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Oh, it's so sad. The lamentations of Jeremiah, you know. So sad. Jerusalem is broken down by Nebuchadnezzar because of the wickedness of the children of Israel and Judah. God showed them what he's going to do to them. He told them what he was going to do to them if they broke his commandments. And they said, yeah, sure. No, sure you are. This big city that you love, God, oh, you're never going to do that to your house. God says he wiped the whole thing away. I mean, I can't even, like I said, you guys heard me say this a million times. Maybe I said it a million. I don't know what it means to be under siege. And I can't imagine being taken away captive. Could you imagine that? By the hair? Nebuchadnezzar dragging you across. I mean, I don't mean to make that funny, but I mean, that's pretty severe, amazing things here. But God did it to them. And if God does it to his own chosen people, who do you think you are? See, a lot of the church people and a lot of the Gentiles, they think, well, God loves me. I'm his, I'm the saint. You know, everyone's got, I'm the prophet, I'm the saint, I'm the, you know, I'm the person that prays. You know, here I come. I paid, you know, there's one guy in the Bible, he says, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of anise and mint and I do all kinds of things. And Yeshua said, wait a second, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. If you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your children more than me, you're not worthy of me. Oh, I can't do that, Jesus. I'll see you. And he went away sorrowful because he had so much. That, you know, how hardly shall they that have riches, and I'm starting to believe, I'm starting to almost believe Apostle Paul when he says it's better to be single where you have no distractions. But if God gives you a mate, that's good too.
Thank you.
If God gives you a mate, that's fine. Praise the Lord.
No.
If God gives you a mate, that's fine. But it does say he that's married cares for the things of his wife, how he may please his wife. He that's married cares for the things of his husband, how he may please her husband. My wife knows that already, that she's second. And I hope I'm second too,
yeah,
right? Because God comes first. God comes first. I mean, praise the Lord. Anyway, and you guys all come second too, no offense. But God comes first. What?
Yeah.
No. I, you guys are all equal to me. No, I'm not going to treat you different than her. I don't treat you different than my wife, and I don't treat you different than her. You may not believe that. I treat everyone the same. I have big battles with my wife here when I have to reprove her and tell her that she's got to love God more than her grandchildren. I know they're cute, too. I mean, you know. But anyway. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we're going to move down on the thing right here. Anyway, the solemn feasts of the Lord are everywhere. Lamentations 2:6. It's very sad. He had violently taken away his tabernacle. He had violently taken away his tabernacle. God did that as if it were a garden of a garden. He had destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord had caused the solemn feast and the Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. When you go to Israel today, a lot of people don't even know about the Sabbath. They forgot it. God says right there, God caused the solemn feasts and the Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion and had despised in the indignation of his anger, the king and the priest, the Levites and everybody. He just despised them because they weren't really serving God. We got to read Lamentations one day together. Very serious book. The Lord had cast off his altar. He had, listen to this, God had abhorred his sanctuary. He had given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. Just think, right now there's a mosque sitting in Israel, in Jerusalem. What an abomination. That's because the people turned away from God. I mean, think about all those poor people in Israel. Most of them don't even know the Messiah. They forsook the Hebrew scriptures. They follow these guys called rabbis that are not in the Bible. They're not in the Hebrew Bible. There's no rabbis in Tanakh. They're following this guy, the Baal Shem Tov, from the 1700s. That's why they all look the same with their... they got this little thing they wear on their head called the peyot. The peyot are the curls. They got the kippah on their head. They all got these talit things on. You know, I'm starting to wear... I wear tzitzit, fringe. And I wear it on four quarters or four points of me because I don't have a four-quartered garment. But the Bible says to do that in two different places, but I don't run around with, you know, looking like I'm from the 1700s. Praise the Lord. Anyway.
B.C. Shalom said he didn't mean it, Carrie.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, the Lord had cast off his altar. Isn't that amazing? It says, they have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of a solemn feast. You know, God says your singing is a stench unto him if it's not done in the Lord. I can show you in the verses in the Bible, God hates their singing. Go right ahead next, please. Lamentations makes me want to cry when I read it. Thou hast called as in a solemn day my terrors round about. Imagine your terrors being called as if when God calls a solemn day. You know, everyone's supposed to be there. That means he's calling your terrors round about so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escape nor remain. Oh, boy. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. God can actually send enemies against you. God did it in the Bible to many people. He rose up different people's enemies and made their lives, made the people very uncomfortable. Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm trying to bring across that the feasts of the Lord are supposed to be kept, and I'm hoping that even I get it a little stronger every year, and I get it straighter every year, and I get it a little more, you know, accurate each year. And Ezekiel, here's Ezekiel. Oh, he talks about the solemn feast in 36:38. Okay, Ezekiel 45:17. There it talks again that talks all about the new moons that nobody knows about nowadays. Nobody knows about the Sabbaths. God caused people to forget the solemnities of the house of Israel. God causes you to forget. It gives you a mind that your mind can't receive these things or inhale them or digest them. It just goes over your head and you miss everything. There's a lot of people in the nut house. Yeah, I wonder what happened to them. Anyway, move that up, please. Anyway, in Ezekiel 46:9, same thing about the solemn feasts. 11. I'm just trying to like show you that it's everywhere in the Bible that God does have His feasts, His solemnities. Solemnities is His solemn appointed times. So this is everywhere in the Bible, and I just wanted to go through these a little bit with you. There's the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 5, chapter 12, verse 9. It all talks about the solemn feast, the solemn day. It talks about our Sabbaths and new moons. I mean, if you really look in the Bible, you'd have to be almost, I don't know, you'd have to be of a brainwashed into another religion to miss the Sabbaths, the new moons, the feasts, the appointed times. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be consecrated. It's a shame because we live in a place called the Bible Belt. They all miss all of these, right? That's called a strong delusion at the moment. It's very sad. It's very scary. Joel 1:14 I like, and he says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. It's better to be in the house of mourning than the house of mirth, the Bible says, because then you take it to heart what's going on. You ever notice when you go to a funeral, everybody a little more serious? They take things to heart that, that might be me in the casket next. Yeah, you might, that little thought might come through your mind once in a while. You might take things a little more serious. Oh, boy. Joel 2:15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Same thing. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a solemn assembly. We want to be a set-apart assembly, a holy assembly. The only way we can do that is with no sin. You can't have sin to be holy. Can't have sin to be separate, right? And it's sometimes you got to give, the Bible says, give strong drink to those that are ready to perish. That means strong rebuke. Because you hope they wake up. Not because you hate them. The Bible says give strong drink to them. So we don't go, oh, I know you didn't understand. No, these people understand, especially people that's been around for years. They're not like you are. You guys are new. Might be a little bit of a winking of the eye, as Apostle Paul says. But people that have been around for years, how could they know the difference? You know what I mean? It's not like they just heard this year. So, anyway, Amos 5:21, God says, I despise your feast days. Because you know why you do them wrong? You don't even do them with your heart. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. See, God, you know, we're a sweet smell unto God. When you pray, it's supposed to be incense to God. Sweet offering, sweet sacrifice. God smells your... What he means by smells is he absorbs your prayers. And it's when you pray to him, it's just like, you know, he lives... The Bible says he lives in the praises of his saints. You know, he loves that. Praises the Lord. When you praise the Lord, it's just, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. Nehemiah 1:15, behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, little reproof to Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. You know, and I just put this together this morning in the midst of everything else that was going on, but I get a lot out of this myself, because the feasts of the Lord are, they're not just... They are celebrations, they are joy, they are happiness, but they all have meaning too, of the second coming of the Messiah, the first coming and the second coming of Mashiach. And I just want to say, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here, and I hope you got something out of this. And please, if you see someone that's not keeping the feast of the Lord, that you know that knows about it, reprove them, correct them. If you see somebody that's doing something that's against God, please... And that includes me. Tell me if I'm doing something against God's commandments or his feasts. I'm ready to hear it more than you think. Anyway, praise the Lord. God bless you. And I'll open the room now. And Baruch Hashem Yeshua. Have a wonderful rest of the eighth day.